The 60th gene key. The transformational path of the 60th gene key moves from limitation to justice, and it's the path of realism. The gene keys are a universal knowledge. They are a transmission. I've said this many times. They make good use of the laws contained within this gene key, as you'll find out. And being a holographic knowledge, the gene keys have connections to all kinds of systems. They are the codes of life, so all our systems have come out of them one way or another. And there are 21 groups or families of keys within the gene keys, and these are known as the codon rings. And they have links to the mystical symbolism of the tarot, or the Hebrew alphabet with its 22 major archetypes. The 22nd one is a mystery. I'll divulge about that one at a later time. So the 60th gene key belongs to a codon ring called the Ring of Gaia, which relates to the symbol of justice in the tarot. And in the traditional tarot system, the symbol of justice was represented by the scales. And this is really the dilemma of this gene key and its shadow. It's the dilemma of balance, because it's all about maintaining the balance. Our planet, Gaia, is an expression of divine balance. Like us, Gaia is a balancing act between structure and energy and between form and evolution. This 60th gene key is also one of the deepest transmissions of the gene keys. It's not so easy to penetrate, and it'll take longer to really understand if you go into contemplation of it. It's dense. It'll take some time. And the shadow here is limitation. It already gives you a clue. And we hear that word, and perhaps when we first hear that word, we think, oh no, I don't want to be limited. I'm not limited. But you are limited, and you always will be limited until you're dead. And even then, who knows? Limitation isn't the enemy. You know, our attitude is the potential enemy. If we succumb to the forces of limitation, to the shadow, then we'll find that we can't breathe and we can't expand and we can't evolve. There are forces in the universe literally bent on pulling us backwards. Gravity, for one. So can you already begin to perhaps glimpse why this gift is called realism? Because there's an upward force in our nature, a drive to extend, evolve, and stretch, to reach and fly, but there's this counterforce, constriction, limitation, pessimism, resignation, tightness. And we're caught between these opposing forces, just as Gaia is caught within the net woven from the darkness of space and the light of the sun. So what does this mean for me? I hear you ask. What does this gene key mean? It means we must keep a balance. Too much sun and we burn. Too much darkness and we shrivel. The 60th shadow really primarily works through the mind. And the mind builds structures. Think about science. Science uses structured thought to make breakthroughs that propel us forwards. That's amazing. What a service. What a perfect balance. But it's only a balance when the scientist extends his idea beyond the known. The greatest breakthroughs usually come through the wildest thinkers. Now, science moves along at its own steady pace. But reality isn't science. You have to open your mind up. Religion's the same. It's a structure that allows you to go beyond the structure. But most people don't even get out of the structure. The gene keys are a classic case. The gene keys provide a structure through your hologenetic profile and the keys themselves. But if you get caught in that structure, worrying about what it all means, then you get stuck. 60th shadow knows the meaning of stuck more than any other gene key. The structure is there to launch you beyond the structure. That's the whole purpose of it. And our thinking gets us stuck. The way we think about our partner, the way we think about our enemy, the way we think about our bank account, our government, our future, it all catches us in the net. We're caught by our minds, by the projections of our minds. And language is the ultimate mental structure. You know, do you think a tree would still exist if it had no name? Of course it would. The child doesn't know language. Language is beautiful, but it gets us stuck. And the 60th shadow is all about finding the balance. Use the structures, but don't become a victim of the structures. Then you're free. The limitation of this shadow, 60th shadow, is genetic. We inherit this ancestral cosmic wound, and it gets laid down in layers through our biology and into our emotional life. And finally, it becomes a great weed in our mind. The question is then, how do we pull out the weed? Contemplation is the ultimate weeding. The first layer is always our mind. So look at the way your mind sees your life. Really examine the ways your thinking limits you. That's what all these cities are for, that we contemplate. They show us our potential without the limitation. So remember, the 60th shadow gets stuck. It gets caught by its own self-imposed limitations. But it's also about striking the right balance. You don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. You know, without the banks, there's no river. You have to have the banks to steer the river on its course. We need the structures, and we need to be free of them at the same time. So we must begin this work with the mind. And as we begin to see that we're more than we allow ourselves to often believe, then that frequency, that vibration of possibility begins to activate something inside us. It's communicated to our DNA, and we begin to open. And the next layer is our emotional patterns, our deep-seated issues of guilt or rejection or rage or whatever they are. And once we loosen the limited thinking of our mind, then these feelings all begin to come up and our contemplation enters a new phase. This is all the Venus work I'm describing. And behind that early emotional pain, those limiting emotional defense patterns, lies the prize. Love. Love is the prize. It's our dearest, truest nature. So when love comes alive again in us, then finally we begin to crack open the final layer, the physical coding. We actually break the limitations within the DNA molecule itself. It opens and light pours through us. And that's when the cities arrive. It's true. The light is inside us, locked away behind the codes. So you see, this 60th gene key is a very deep journey. We have to use structures, and then we have to transcend those structures. Eventually, we have to let go even of language itself. So the 60th shadow is well worth your time and attention. If you have it in your profile, then your whole life is going to be influenced by the shadow, and you'll have to find the right balance between your expression and the form that you use for that expression. And that's all deep work. This is all very deep work, wonderful work. The 60th gift of realism. If you want to get something done in life, you really need this 60th gift. And I'm not saying you need it in your profile or any of that. You just need to tap into it. Realism. It's quite a loaded word. It can mean many things. And in this instance, we need to think about it in terms of what we've just been discussing. Because the gift arises from looking at the shadow in a new way. It's a shift in our attitude. Limitation is no longer our enemy. Now we use it for our evolution. I'm a good example. I clearly have something to give to the world. I hope it's inspirational and useful. But how to get it out there? How to structure it? Before the gene keys existed, it was all just swirling around inside me. It had no shape. It drove me nuts. All that juice and no structure, no means of expression. Can you imagine? Well, I'm sure you can. And then along came the gene keys. And suddenly, I have a vehicle. And it's wide enough to encompass my illuminations. And yet the system, if I can call it that, is a limitation. And I feel that all the time. Whenever someone asks me something about the birth time in their profile or something, I feel the intensity of the limitation. Because it's not about any of that. This is all just the delivery mechanism. The thing is the wisdom, the living transmission. And that's what you get through contemplation and through osmosis. So the gift of realism is about being able to take advantage of structures. And it also has a twinkle in its eye, this gift. Because it knows that the structure is a means to an end. So the gift of realism is a rare, rare gift. There are many people out there in the world toting truth mechanisms, structures of thinking that will guide you. Some of them are wonderful. But how many of those people who are toting them are holding them really lightly? Just are willing to drop them if a transmutation occurs. Just let it go. And how many of them are caught in the web of them? The structure has taken them. Yes, a twinkle in the eye. You know, this is a gift that holds the balance between the forms and the structures of the world and the mystery that moves through them, the evolutionary current. The gift of realism also may have a dark sense of humour because it sees the paradox of its position. It needs a structure, but it knows that all structures are ultimately doomed. All roads lead to death. That is realism. Well, it is. But knowing this can free you from being caught up in the structure itself. The world is just full of people wrestling with their self-imposed structures. Look at the world economy. We created these structures. Now they've become so complicated that they threaten our very survival. Life moves in circles and cycles. Every now and again, a transmutation occurs. Something comes along that shatters our vision of reality. And then the structures crumble and we have to begin again. It's the decline of the Roman Empire. And one day the world we built around us today that we see all around us is going to decline and another one will take its place. So the gift of realism, it knows all this. It has a natural business sense. This is about having a common sense. They know how the world works. They will build structures that can mutate, that can change, that can that can adapt. They don't become brittle. And they can move if the earth moves. And so they're open-ended. If you think about it, the most successful businesses in the world are the ones that can adapt to change, that even take advantage of change, ones that make a profit out of change, because change is built into life. In the text of this gift in my book, I describe this as like grafting a young shoot onto a powerful old rootstock. And the 60th gift realizes the power of the past, of heredity, of tradition, and ancestral roots, and it incorporates them, it honours them, but it isn't taken in by them. And as we've seen repeatedly, this gene key is a balancing act. You need the old and you need the new. You need science and you need love. The gift of realism unites these opposites in a practical and an imaginative way. So for the 60th gene key, this whole notion of contemplation is vital. And in a way, it comes out of this gene key because you need a form to contemplate. But there's a lot more to the form than its content. It's your continued interaction with the form that ignites the wild wisdom. And this emerges in the gap between your intent and the form. And it emerges spontaneously, surprisingly, and it usually brings great rewards. So transformation always comes in the gaps. This is the teaching of the 60th gene key. This is the gift of realism. You plan for luck. You set up your easel, you start a business, whatever the form may be, and then you go through the motions. And you don't know when or how or what, But sooner or later, a breakthrough will occur. You just have to begin. And it has to come from your heart. But sooner or later, because you're doing what you believe in and because you've built a structure, fortune will find you. You're like the spider with its web. You build the web in the right place and in the right way, and then you wait. And maybe you need to adjust the form or change the location until it feels right. Sometimes that takes time. It usually takes time. But magic is never far away. And then, of course, the trick is not to become a victim of your success. You know, because success is also a structure. It can create more structures. It can make your life more complicated. Forms trap us all the time. We think we have to go on making more. But the gift of realism knows when to stand back and when to let go. And that's quite possibly its very highest gift, when to let go. The 60th city, justice. I love contemplating these gene keys. They're so deep and endless. And this one is like this kind of fathomless well. What is justice? That's a profound contemplation. What is justice? Sometimes when I'm thinking of these things, an image comes to me, or a snippet of a book or a film. And with this one, I'm thinking about Victor Hugo's epic novel, Les Miserables. And everyone's probably heard of this now because it's such a famous musical and it was made into a film. But the story is timeless, and I think it contains a very powerful meditation on justice. It's about a man called Jean Valjean, and he's in prison for stealing a loaf of bread, and he stole it to try and feed his family. And he's actually a moral man, and this was his one falling or failing in life. It was an act of understandable desperation. And then his punishment is really harsh. He spends 19 years in the mines. And of course, that seems so unjust. And one day, he's finally released, and he wanders the land trying to rebuild a life. And everywhere he goes, he's treated as a criminal. Until one day, a kind old bishop takes him into his home and feeds him and looks after him. And in the dead of the night, Valjean commits the second crime of his life, and he makes off with the bishop's silver. He thinks, I can rebuild my life with this. This is the only way it's ever going to happen. And the next day, he's caught by the police and brought before the bishop, and he's thinking, oh God, I'm going to go back to another 19 years. My life's over. But to his surprise, the bishop tells the police that the silver was a gift, and he even gives him an extra. He says, you've forgotten the candlesticks. You know, and he gives him these extra things, and then Valjean is freed. And here's the moment that the bishop tells Valjean that he's bought his freedom for the price of living an honest life. He wants him to live an honest life. And Valjean goes ahead and leads an exemplary life. And I like this story because for me it epitomizes the city of justice. Because justice isn't retribution. Justice is a reward. And it's given as grace. It's not taken as punishment. And when it is given, freedom flows from it. It isn't an imposition. It isn't a limitation. It's an invitation. It's an opening. One of the hardest things to do is to be forgiven by someone you've wronged. It cracks you open. It melts you. Unless you're in denial, you know. Unless you're in denial, it forces you into a transformation. Or when someone else makes a selfless sacrifice on your behalf, then it invokes the power of justice, of divine balance. So justice as a city carries these kind of stories within it. You can find your own. If you carry the 60th gene key, then these kind of opportunities are going to come your way. And it's not up to us to punish. Life redresses the balance. It's always about the balance. Our invitation is to always just keep letting go. The city is about the quantum leap from the personal dimension to the universal. So it's always about letting go. All the power and all the glory we've gained in the gift, we surrender to the city. All roads lead to death, the great equalizer. You can see here in this codon ring, I mentioned earlier, the codon ring here is the 19th gene key, the 61st gene key. And the 19th city is sacrifice, and the 61 is sanctity. So you can see how sacrifice is linked into justice. These are the three themes of this codon, this family, this genetic family. So the 60th city holds an apt description of what happens when a human being becomes fully realized. At a certain point, our hearts open to our true innocence, and then we begin to unlock other codes. Codes in our DNA that are ancestral rather than personal, and we begin to transmute more global karma. The more our being opens, the more we're given. You might recall that this gene key is part of this ring of Gaia. Gaia. It holds the karma of Gaia. So when we're ready for that, we get to be an agent of divine justice. That's what happens. We take on the sins of our fractal. Our fractal being the ancestral lineage that we're born into. It's all in the DNA. All those acts that came out of fear down the ages are stored as sanskaras, that's memory imprints, in our DNA. It's all in there. So full realization means we agree to transmute that on behalf of the whole. And let's face it, this isn't a destiny that's for everyone. You have to surrender the balance of the gift of realism. Love requires that you let go even of that at a certain point in your evolution. It doesn't feel in the least bit balanced to let go into this kind of process. But your love will carry you through it. You know, we've seen that language is one of the final structures that has to go towards the end. And when language goes, thought also goes. And then we enter into the silence of justice. And in that silence, all things are justified. All polarities are annihilated. We enter into the sanctity. And yes, yes, there are unusual manifestations through this city. It's kind of a funny one. There have to be. It's one of the miracle cities. But it doesn't come around often. It may come around at great turning points in evolutionary history. And although I can envisage a time when this city will come into the world more frequently and precipitate major changes in the structure of life. Or you could see it the other way, as the structure of life transmutes, so the city comes into the world as a byproduct. Either way, it brings big changes. The transmutation of world karma will always bring big changes. And it will bring an end to certain limiting structures, and it will redefine the meaning of realism, of what is real. I've always seen this gene key as intimately connected to gravity. Gravity is the ultimate physical limitation. But surely one day we're going to crack this one. Within the confines of gravity is locked up massive amounts of free energy. And once we know how to use this energy to get at it, the whole structure of civilization will change. A new era will dawn. I know I'm sounding like a prophet, but assuming we don't blow ourselves up or get hit by an asteroid, this is fairly certain to be our final destiny. Well, not final, but our destiny anyway, as a species. Free energy means free resources, which means less need for territory, which means more peace. And of course, the current laws of physics, as they are understood, will have to be smashed to allow for a new understanding. And then we're also into all kinds of things like bending space and space travel, because we're no longer restricted by our understanding of the speed of light. You see how structures can trap us? Even light seems limited in our eyes. The structures trap us until we're ready to smash out of them. Light is unlimited. Even, never mind what they see, they say, these scientists. It's unlimited, as it also, it's hidden within the formless. That's where the light is. It's hidden within the formless dimension, like the light in our DNA, hidden in there. And we can't really conceive of that with our current understandings. We're weighed down by the gravity of our thinking. What we really need is levity. You know, levity. You see, justice is always about the balance, gravity and levity. Levity is what happens when we drop our past, we drop our karma. We drop our heavy baggage. Then we become weightless. It's funny how the word light also means light in weight. Weightless. Justice is levity, just as limitation is gravity. Light itself doesn't need to travel. You know, one of my great heroes is he's a man that people haven't heard of, a man called Walter Russell, a genius from the last century. I'm certain that one day his theories about light will be in the mainstream. They'll probably be the foundation of a future science. Because he famously said that light does not travel. Light does not travel. Because it's already there. You know? You look at a star, that light, we measure that in terms of time. But it's already here. It doesn't have to travel. It's already there. It's holographically encoded everywhere. You see, our current understandings could be so far from the truth. So far from the truth. Russell said that the problem with scientists is that they assume from the beginning that consciousness is an effect rather than a cause of the universe. There you have it. You know, there you have it. There are miracles waiting behind our limitations. One day, justice will prevail. My friend, Walter Russell, will be shown to be right. How do I know that? It's just a matter of balance. It has to be.